best not miss.
Over the line!
Well, I'm a bunch of little cloud laying motherfucker, motherfucker.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Welcome to the party, pal, the mind-bending film and television podcast. You didn't know you needed it. Welcome to the Party Pal is a proud member of the Osiris Media Group. Learn more about the media group, all their podcasts, all their live events over at osirispod.com. Today, in an Oscar warm-up, we're going to celebrate some of the best films of 2023. To do that, I have author, radio host, podcaster, host of the great Gods on the Rock podcast. You got to check it out. River Jordan. So much to get into. So many amazing films to celebrate. Let's get right into it.
River, welcome back to the party. I'm looking forward to this one, a true celebration of films. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm always happier when I wake up and go, oh, we get to talk about movies today.
Absolutely. It's either my joys are seeing the movies, talking about the movies, thinking about the movies. A lot of these movies we're going to talk about have grown in kind of lore in my mind and in my heart as kind of you step away from them and I think about them. And some of them I've gotten to revisit. My favorite movie of the year, which we'll get to. I actually revisited it last night, and I just love it, love it, love it. So I kind of got like a top 10 list, but I know you have a list too of your favorites. So we'll just bounce back and forth, talk about our favorite films. It's kind of a fun time of year to do it. We got the Oscars coming up just a few days. I'd also like to note that I just saw Dune 2, and I feel like, you know, we already have a movie that's going to be talking about next year. Do you get a chance to see it yet, River?
No, I'm hoping to see it this weekend, but if not, I will definitely see it next Tuesday. Yeah, so just
magical. Yeah, really, 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 really magical. Yep. So cool. Let's dig in. So my 10th best film of the year, this was a surprise to me when it was put on my radar. It's Godzilla Minus One. Did you know about that?
I did know, and I meant to see it, but I did
so
not.
Fun.
Rave reviews. Yep. Yeah,
definitely. So I walked out of that one, and the first thought on my mind was, that is how you Godzilla. There's been, you know, these remakes, and you know they're doing these things, but this is such a tribute to the original Godzillas that I would see as a kid. The idea of it, there's Godzilla is this metaphor, kind of based on the nuclear bomb that kind of rip through that area, and you know you feel that metaphor in a major way in this way, and the loss that occurred and you know to everyone out there to the Japanese in World War II in a major way. It's kind of heartbreaking in both the Godzilla's devastation and World War II. But it's what I loved about the film. It's more of a human story than a monster film, and I think that's what drew me to it initially. People are like, it's just not about the, you know, Godzilla does show up in a major way, but it's about the people in it. And you know, the way they use Godzilla, I loved. It was almost like the way they used Jaws. Steven Spielberg used Jaws. It was this menacing creature that drove the story in a different way. It had a great redemption story. It had great commentary on how the Japanese didn't really value its own lives in war, whether it's for kamikaze reasons or ejector seats. And it was so much fun. Maybe my favorite action movie of the year. Maybe my biggest surprise of the year. It's so cool. You're going to love it. It's fun.
Did you watch Monarch Legacy?
No, you know what? Not yet. It is on my to-do list. And did you?
Yes, I loved it.
Oh, was it good? Good, good. I was hoping it was great. I did. I started digging into the first one, and I was like, this is going to be cool. Save it for the right time and the whole thing.
Great. So. It's great. And it's surprising. And Kurt Russell's amazing. So, yeah.
It's special. I watched a cool video yesterday of Kurt talking about in Hateful Eight how he smashed that guitar. And it was like a really valuable guitar. And he was kind of explaining himself and how Jennifer Jason Leigh was so mad at him because that she's been, you know, owned that. And all that. He's such a treasure. He's really special.
Yeah.
I'll just bounce right to the next one. My number 9 film of the year was American Fiction. What a special, special movie that was. You know, excellent, subtle direction from Cord Jefferson. That's his directorial debut, which is wild. He's
Yeah.
He's worked on Masters. He's worked, I mean, for a feature film, he's worked on Masters of None. He worked on HBO's Watchmen, which was great. Jeffrey Wright can sure carry a film. He's just, he's been one of my favorites for a while. I love him as a lead. Sterling K. Brown was hilarious. Great commentary on race and culture. But what I love the most is the film is about more than that, more than that commentary. It was about family. It was about loss. It was about growing old. It was kind of like that touch that was, you know, felt like a, kind of like an Alexander Payne film at times in that way. It was just like this human element about, you know, what it means to grow old together and, you know, it, our differences and the whole thing. It really got me. It's a cool film. I believe you saw it as well, right?
Yes, it's a cool film on many levels. Mm. And I think it did a great job, whether you're a Black author or someone else, that, and of course they really nailed the, you know, it's got to be more Black, it's got to be ghetto Black to be successful kind of thing. Yeah. But even as an author of any race, for a publisher to want to play your race card as a part of the publicity campaign, it's a little like, could we just back up and look at this on the merits of the literary quality? And it's no, it, we can't. We want this and we want that and we want to package you. And so I thought it had a great something to say about that. Of course, I always do get a kick out of the way that white people are portrayed, since I am supposedly, well, not supposedly, but white on a, do if I have to check the choices, you know, this is what I get. So I have not always seen white people represented that I know or would hang out with or that represent me. There's a certain stereotype as well to the white people that are portrayed in the film. Absolutely. But I think for their purposes, they got it right. They pretty well got it going on right. And I understand why they did, for comedy reasons too, but it was so well acted and it was done very understated, very, even though it was for comedy, they didn't go for the cheap laugh, you know, and they could have, and they could have. No.
Absolutely. I thought they would actually more going in. I thought they would kind of play that whole thing up. And for people like me and you who love books, who love literature, that type of commentary, those type of conversations are super important. It's funny to look at and disheartening in some cases, the reason, you know, books are getting published and the reason people are getting chosen to write books or, you know, be ghostwritten about and everything. You know, as we work to try to make the world of literature a better place for stories, it's important to have these conversations. And done in this type of way is a lot of fun. It was a really fun role for Adam Brody. He was hilarious in it.
Yeah, very well done. And I love seeing a movie that's understated like this, you know, get the attention that it's getting, and certainly him getting the attention for his acting that he's getting.
I didn't expect that, and I was delightfully surprised by that. I'm so glad. I think I mentioned it last time we talked. I did see a clip of when Jeffrey Wright found out he was nominated. He was so thrilled, and it's so deserving.
I didn't see it. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's somewhere out there. It's somewhere in the Twitterverse or whatever. It came upon my world, but he's so special. He's so special. Issa Rae to put her in everything. Just the whole thing was a ton of fun. If you haven't, get out there and see it.
It was on my list too.
Yeah, so. Was it? It's on your list. I figured there. My eighth film was I loved Rustin. And it has one of the reasons I love it, that's on Netflix. It's the story of it's the story of Bayard Rustin, and it's a lot of it's wild how little I knew about him going into the film. I did an interview with the filmmaker who actually documentarian who did a doc on Rustin not too long ago, but it actually kind of put Rustin on the map a little bit. That's at Across the Margin podcast, but it's wild how and the movie Rustin on Netflix really shows you what he did for the civil rights movement, and it's wild that he's not a household name for what he did. And you know, a story like this highlights how important movies can be in telling us untold or lesser known stories that should be told And to me, it had one of the performances of the year by Colman Domingo. I thought he's so special to see him getting some praise and shine for it. Rustin's a pretty special movie, and it was much more about that it was spreading a story that I loved to see people learning more about and knowing about. It's great.
Did it get nominated for anything?
Didn't he get nominated? I believe Colman Domingo got nominated.
It just slid right under the wire, so yeah. I missed that one. I'll back up and get it before Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. I don't believe the movie got it. It's directed by George C. Wolfe, who has a multiple Tony winner at this point. He's good. It tells a story that needs to be told, and I think that's what I know. Me and you've had this conversation before, how important it is. And there's a couple movies coming up. Some of the bigger movies of the film that told stories that just need to be told, and that's what movies do such a good job of. I'll just continue going because I know we're going to get to your batches.
Well, can I throw you a fun one?
Can you? Please. I was going to see if you want to bounce something off me. Yeah, please.
I found something off that I probably is not going to show up on a lot of lists, you know,
yes.
The year. They cloned Tyrone.
Oh, it's a wild one.
I love that movie. Is so like, what?
Yep.
Like, wait, what now? Like, what now? And, you know, somehow we were talking about another movie in a recent release before you started recording. And I said, they really, in some ways, didn't take it far enough. You know, they cloned Tyrone, took it far enough.
All in.
Just took it all the way. They kept on going and going and going. And I thought the acting between the three leads was wonderful. Yeah. And the story was, you know, original and... had a lot to say,
yeah.
And did it in a very serious subject that they handled in a very funny, out of the box way.
I was
all in on They Cloned Tyrone, man. So I thought it should make my fun list anyway. You know, my list. This is not the Oscar list. This is the list of movies that meant something to me for different reasons.
Absolutely, I love that you just described it as novel too. It was one of the more unique movies that came out this year. I mean, Jewel Taylor, someone I'm gonna, you know, kind of put him on the map a little bit more. I know he's done, what, he worked on the most recent Creed or something like that, but. It's definitely, he has my attention. I love the acting in it. And you're right, it's one of those movies where it's just kind of dropping your jaw time after time again. What are we doing here? The surrealness of it was wild. I love that you chose that. That's so cool.
Okay, you want me to do another?
Yes, you're on a roll.
Are you ready? Okay. All right. Dumb Money. I love Dumb Money so much. I thought, you know, I remember in the middle of COVID, the whole GameStop, the news, the stocks, things were crazy, but I was trying to keep my mom alive, you know, during that time from COVID. And I'm like, what is going on with the stock and GameStop? And then seeing this movie, it was another surprise for me because it was just something on TV, nothing that I went to see. And I turned it on. And I thought the acting was very good. And that the
what a great cast. Paul Dano as a lead is amazing.
All the way. And I even noticed some of the smaller touches. And the wife, the character playing his wife, just when you see those little tiny things where a character pulls back instead of overplaying, and they kind of, you know, tone it down and they play it, you know, really more realistically. I perfectly captured the panic of Wall Street, the unbelievable dedication to the people who had nothing but bought in with him. You know, as long as Kitty was buying in, they were buying in. As long as he was staying, he was staying. And then the fact, did you see the movie?
Absolutely. I loved it. It was one of the most fun I had in the theaters, without a doubt.
Okay. And that's what I felt like when the movie was over. I'm like, what a great experience. And it also captured me in such a way that even at home, I wasn't trying to double screen, check messages. I was like, wow, this is really happening. You know, This is, and the fact that they stopped it so that people could no longer buy stock, I'm like,
Absolutely. It
whoa.
led to an important change that needed to happen. It's a great stick it to the man movie too. I mean, these people, like you said, had nothing and really stuck together and wrote it out. I mean, these people should have been, you wonder the whole time, would you have been cashing out? I mean, at times you
I know that
bet.
finger back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah. And but I mean, then you see that these people who were, kind of taking advantage of people, getting theirs and having a really hard time because of what these people, the power of people together doing, what the Seth Rogen's character went through was really, really wild. But just kind of the way that movie's cut, the way they, put it together, it makes it so fun. And it really is such a unique phenomenon that happened. I remember big time what was going on. What could possibly, I mean, I started calling my father who works, that plays in the market and the whole thing. And I'm like, you have to explain some of this stuff to me, like, because this is interesting. I usually don't care about this world, but this is cool.
Something Robin Hoodies going on out there,
Yes.
right?
Yes. Exactly. Well put. So it was one of the most fun I had in the theaters, but the film I have at number 7 is right there with it, and that's Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Yes, that was on my list, man.
Yes, heck yeah. So good. I can't wait to hear what you have to say it up. But like, big shout out to animation this year. It's really cool to see The Boy and the Heron getting the love it's getting. I had a great time watching Mario Brothers in the theater, but this one hits hard. Both of them, the one before it really hits. It's visually stunning. The amounts, the different types of animations they throw at you, kind of just cohesively put together. I don't even know how they do that. I'd love to know more. So many types of different. The depth, though, the heart of it all. It's as much about family as it is about crime fighting, and just it's really, it's I can't wait for.
And also about the multiverse, let's not forget
Yeah.
about the multiverse when you're
Totally.
just going, wow. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. And the
I
way they were able to bring that to the screen, and it needs to be seen on the big screen. I think
it
I saw it on
need
the big screen twice, you know?
oh, nice. I don't think anyone, with Marvel and anything has done the multiverse this well. They do it in such a fun way, an interesting way. It makes sense when you're watching it. You don't have to overthink it. I love that they left us with an amazing cliffhanger. I'm so excited for the next. I mean, and I just love that everyone's celebrating it. This is Sony Pictures Animation highest grossing film. It crushed at the box office, and it deserves it. It
Yes.
really deserves it.
Yes, it
Such an
does.
amazing film.
And I think the artwork and what they did with it will stand the test of time. I know we're getting all this stuff adding in, and AI is going to be doing a lot of things, whether people like it or not, down the road. And this was just beautiful. It just was something amazing and extraordinary. And I do hope that they get, all the kudos. And of course, I'm sure at the box office for the next one, they're going to get their own reward, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just, we're all going to be there. The first weekend's going to absolutely crush. Yeah, no, that's going to be interesting to see. And I know we'll be talking next week more about the Oscars, what happens in that animation category, because there's some heavy hitters, and I'd love to see The Boy and the Heron get it, but this is a really, really special film. I got a weird one I want to throw at us that at my number 6, but I know you've seen it recently. I have Poor Things right here, and I would say that for like,
I didn't get to go see it.
no, River.
Go see it, but I will see it before the Oscars because it may end up being my number one film of the year. So and I was reading someone else's response, and it was echoing yours. It's someone you don't know, as far as I know, you don't know them, but they were saying how they keep thinking about this film and thinking about this film. And I remember you saying that after you saw it too. But you can, I've read all the spoiler alerts. I know
Yeah,
that.
no, and I wanted to. I'm speaking more generally about these, just in case people are going through, because I'm hoping we're putting people onto something. A lot of these are very celebrated films, so it wouldn't be the case. But I mean, I just found it to be And I'd like to mention this, anything from like six down to one, as I'm mentioning, these could all be the film of the year in certain ways. They're just that good. But it's one of the most inventive narrators I've come upon. How she, as this young child trapped in this older body, how she opens up to the world, allowed us to see the beauty in the world through those eyes, and also the darkness of it and the ridiculousness of it. It was a really cool novel narrator. And I hope Lily wins, and I believe Lily should and will win. But I mean, this is a performance of a lifetime, if you ask me. What Emma Stone does is just unbelievable. Mark Ruffalo and William Dafoe are terrific too, and it's so visually novel and interesting and weird. Yorgos is a stud of a director. He's obviously the type of weirdo we need in the world.
What was the movie of his before this one?
Was it The Lobster that was the last one?
Yes, yes.
The Lobster was the last one, but that was a great one too. And it just, I mean, you know, with a lot of complaints about the cookie cutter, you know, comic book, whatever, about the thing, with novel films like this are the antidote to that, or the proof that that's not the case at the theaters. I'm so excited for you to see it. It's really, really wonderful.
You know, I appreciate when people are able to color outside the lines, and I think this is about as far outside the lines as one can color, right?
Yes, absolutely. I don't even know. Sometimes I'm like, careful, because I love it. I think it's such an amazing movie. Sometimes I'm like, can I recommend it to everybody? It's such a, you know, it's wild. It's a wild experience in there, and some wild stuff happens. Yeah. What else do you have?
I'm going to give you another. I did some fun movies because and we know who the Oscar nominees are. Yeah. And I didn't want to come in and talk about those so that it's just, we're going to do a replay, you know.
Totally. I love that angle. Drop it on us.
So my other one that was so much fun, and it in part has to do with the experience that you have with the movie, not just what's on the screen, but where you watch it, who you watch it with. And that's part of movies too. It's that communion, right?
No question. Absolutely.
Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yep.
It's totally on one of my favorite movie experiences of the year. I know some people are like, no, Rocket's backstory, it was too hard. It was the animal thing. But when you have an 11-year-old kid that looks at you at the end of the movie and goes, best movie ever.
You know, yeah. Like,
yes, kids. So to me, it was just fun to see the gang back together.
Always. Love that gang. Gonna miss that gang so much.
I love that gang. And so that, you know, there's that, although I have another one that's hits my nostalgia award for the year.
Yep.
This one was probably my most fun, because a lot of movies I go see alone on purpose because I like it that way, right?
Yeah, me too.
I don't want anybody else's attitude or, you know, I want a pure experience, right? But this was a big family movie, and it, for that reason, it was so much fun that I
feel like if I was 11 and sit next to you, I would have turned to you and said, that's the best movie ever. It was so fun. Having a story about Rocket was awesome. I love that was the focus. I mean, I love that character. It's fantastic. I think you've highlighted, I'm so glad you brought, you came to the table with the movies you're talking about so far, because it's highlighting how much fun movies are and why we go to the cinema, and it's such a good time. It is, and Guardians is always a good time. And I've cried at Guardians movies when
movies, right? Yeah. How could you not?
How do you not? The end of the second one, I was when the whole gang comes to celebrate. I can't think of his name. Blue guy who's got the arrow that shoots around when he passed, and they all kind of like his whole union came to sell.
You're my boy.
Yeah, I was bawling. My daughter still makes fun of me for how hard I was crying in the movie there.
Oh, how could you not? And then I love the opening scene where Rocket is so tired, and let's give points for Bradley Cooper and his playing of the role. I think it's one of the greatest of his lifetime. I mean, he's 100% in there. And when he gets the gun and he goes again, you know, and he gets up to go inside to check on him, and he's He's kind of, his back is kind of bent. You know, you can see the walk. He's older. You know, I love that attention to detail, even when you're dealing with a fantasy or animated, you know, situation. It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Matters. It goes a long way. Kind of cheated here at my five spot. I usually don't do this, but I mean, there's two films that kind of tied in together, and they made me feel the same way. So I kind of grouped them together, and it was a way for me to sneak in another movie here because I did try to limit myself to 10, or I just would have gone nuts. But Past Lives and All of Us Strangers really hit me. They both really, really got me. The ideas, like I said, they hit me kind of the same. They're dealing kind of with our past and the way we reckon with our past and finding ways to move forward in life. They both like talk about the thoughts about, you know, what could have been. I mean, how often, you know, do any of us, I mean, I hear people, you know, the no regrets mantra, like it's, come on, that's not realistic. Many of us talk about what could have been, what should have been, who it should have been with. For past lives, it really, there was something so beautiful about the trio, the way they interacted, that felt so grown up, so mature. They were so kind to each other in such a complicated situation, and just the way they navigated each other through it and the way they experienced it was amazing. I was blown away by All of Us Strangers too. It was so unique of a film. Andrew Scott was amazing. It was kind of a brilliant device, the way they conceived the story to deal with how do we kind of talk about this kind of trauma that was going on in it. It's a ghost story, it's a love story, it's a trauma story, it's a lot of things, and both of those movies really, really got me. So I wanted to bring them up, and I apologize for cheating, but the two fine films.
That's not cheating. I'm going to bring up the one that got to me deeply in ways it did not
Please.
get to other people. Asteroid City,
Yes.
Edge, I think needed to get more attention.
I wish it did too.
Season. I think that it could be fatigue with thinking, oh, he's just doing his thing. This is so, you know, narcissistic or pompous or whatever. Let's just have more of you being you, right? Talking about the director.
With Wes, yep.
Yeah, and but I didn't see that at all. I saw this to be the most poignant and the most layered of any of his movies. I don't think this one, although there are laughs and there are things that are humorous, I didn't think that he went for the cheap laugh. I thought there was something else being said about all of life as a stage, and we're all looking for love, and we're looking for someone to say, did you do it right? You know, you did it right. You did it perfectly. You did, you know, you were a little extra on the beard. You were a little extra on the thing, but yeah, yes, you did a great job being you. And the bit about the alien and the, you know, the comedy portions that are totally a part of him being him are funny, but it was the death. You know, you're talking about the kindnesses and the stuff, and I know, but the death of the wife, the death of the mother, who was the death of the daughter of Tom Hanks, and the handling of that, and then of course, you know, this alien coming down to get his meteor right and take it back. All of it, just all of it. It was one of my favorite movies of the year for certain.
I think it's brilliant. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I hear you. I feel like we're getting to a point in time where it's like, you know, people love Wes or hate Wes, which is a shame because it's genius. He's the it's so unique what he's bringing to the screen, even though, you know, people are acting like it feels the same. It doesn't to me. I feel like so many of the different pieces of what he does well were represented in Asteroid City in a major way. I wish he got more recommendation. I have a feeling that his short film that's on Netflix could actually win. That's The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Did you get into those shorts?
Yes, very much got into the
Yeah,
shorts.
that one's wonderful. I could see that.
I'm on my list too, so I'd be surprised if it did not get an award.
I really think that could do it. So my number four, I'm actually kind of shocked that it's, when I heard about it, I would assume this might be the best film of the year, and it is one of the best films of the year, and it's probably a lot of people's best films of the year. Killers of the Flower Moon. We've gone deep on it already, and I just, it's brilliant. That's one of the ones I was talking about. Just keeps kind of growing in my mind. I think about just how cinematically beautiful. I keep thinking about images from it a lot. I mean, the themes are deep. Lily's so great. The acting's great. The story is another one that I think needs to be known. So many people didn't know how prosperous of a time it was for that group of Native Americans. But I mean, just the images keep sticking with me, and some of the shots keep sticking with me in a major way. And
Some of the beautiful cinematography I've seen in a film forever and ever.
I agree, and it's just something. I even just turned it on the other day. And I was started watching, and I'm like, this is, I stopped myself because I'm like, I need to find that this is, take it as a whole. Don't start doing this whole thing. But I was just like, man, because when you're first taking it in, there's so much to take in. You're taking the story. I just read the book. I want to see how he took it. And now I'm just like, this is a beautiful, beautiful movie. And it's absolutely gorgeous. Scorsese's a god, and he did it again. People talk about the length. We've kind of, dismissed that whole thing. Bring it on. He's got the right green light to do whatever, and he just wonderfully did it. I love it.
I will say I'm surprised, and of course I know this is pitching forward towards Oscars, but
Yep.
that Leo didn't get a nomination for his performance. He
Super
was
surprised. Super surprised.
amazing.
He was terrific.
But yes, it definitely is one of the top movies of the year for anyone, whether you even like the movie or not. I mean, just for recognizing what they accomplished and the absolute beauty of it.
Yep.
I think they were true to the story regarding the relationship and the marriage, and Ellie's marriage. But if they had turned the screw on that so that he ended up fighting the powers that be to
Yeah.
save or people, and he had crossed over, if Leo had crossed over his character, I think it would have been a more successful movie, in that it would be a little more loved, because people would go, oh yeah, he
I
sided her and her people and he stuck it to him. But
love that type of savior type film, it seems. But yeah, I mean, that would be untrue to the story. I mean, he wasn't, it's despicable. It's despicable, but he played it so perfectly despicable. I mean, I mean, there it's and there was, he did care for he
I think it was dumb.
yeah.
I thought Leo did an excellent job playing somebody that was kind of confused and dumb,
Absolutely.
not
He
just evil or angry or whatever he was. He was kind of,
There was a naivety or simplicity to his character as well. Yeah, I mean, he was getting manipulated in a major way. I feel like I could really get into this. It's such a fun movie to talk about. We have an episode all dedicated to that too. My third one is Barbie. I just watched it the other day, and I cried again. I cried again. It's just, it's been talked about ad nauseum at this point, but it gave me hope to what's possible with IP and movies in general. The production design, the music, the themes explored, the acting, and the direction is magnificent. We all know Greta got screwed here. The direction is unbelievable. The phenomenon was a joy to behold. Barbie was special. Barbie was such a big part of films in 2023, and it was delightful. I loved every bit of it.
Barbie is just a mountaintop unto its own this year. There, it's
True.
no one else is really touching it, or the phenomenon, and the marketing and the social media and the I've never seen anything like it. And the I don't know if you want to call it guts, chutz, how you say chutzpah, how do you say, for them to say, oh, Oppenheimer's coming out, I think you better move your date. It's like, no, I think you better move yours. And it's like, but they played so sweetly to make it a joint thing. I think, love, peace, and harmony. I think I've never seen a situation where the fans of Barbie, expecting Barbie to come out, made it into a Barbenheimer meme that took off. And You know, yeah, by the world, the call, by the world, a coconut smile indeed. To me, that was that whole lovely attitude of, well, we're not going to back down, we're not going to weaken, but we're going to lift you up with us. You know, how about
There's room for us all. This isn't a zero-sum game. You're right. Then they lifted each other up. There was, you know, people were seeing both on the same day, and it was, that was so cool.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's the idea that, like, that you don't let them pit us against each other. Like, let's get together and show that we can, you know, we can rise up at the same time. It's beautiful.
Can we apply that to politics this year?
Absolutely.
Can we make that happen, people?
We need the Barbenheimer thing to leak into to how we approach working together and our differences.
Hire those people to work on politics this year, you know, and the vote. So anyway, yes, kudos to Barbie for being something we have. I've never seen exactly anything like that in my lifetime.
I would be shocked if we see it again. It was that special. It really was. Yeah. River, I'm going to about drop my top two, but you got something to drop on us in the meantime?
I'm going to drop a handful of just fun summer movies, because my top two are probably your top two, or close to your top two. Yeah. For nostalgia's sake, and another great going to the movie theater experience, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
It was fun.
I don't care what anybody says. It was fun. You know, probably our last Indiana Jones. And it deserved a final chapter. It deserved having that moment, you know, that that's been such a character for us for so many years and generations that I was pleased that it came back around. So that's one of mine.
It was a blast. It was an absolute blast. I didn't understand any sort of people not feeling it. It was Indiana Jones through and through. Yeah. Characters were coming back. I love the way it concluded. Kind of they brought it home. They put a bow on that in a major way. And it was fun.
Yeah, Karen Allen's there, and he takes his hat back off the line. Yep. And you know, I thought they did a beautiful job with it. And then I also had a lot of fun with Mission Impossible, even though all these riches that hit us at one time, and people are going, oh no, that's going to lose because this came out or this came out. You know, I'm like, man, I still remember the pain of COVID and movie theaters being closed. So I'm just rolling in this, you know, like cat and catnip. Are you kidding? So Dead Reckoning, I'm there for it, man. It was great. So that was
Mission Impossible is always going to bring me to the theater. That's just the case. That's the deal.
Absolutely. So what have you got? What are your top two?
Well, I'd just like to mention one that's kind of on my mind that that's kind of silly. Then I'll share my top two. Dungeons and Dragons was so much fun. I don't know if you've seen it. It's I've watched it multiple times because it's one of those popcorn movies you could just watch. I thought it would be, I had no expectations going in. It is such a good time. And I bring it up now because we're talking about how much fun was there at the cinema this year. And that was another fun, fun film. It's streaming now, I think, on Paramount. If you want a good time, if you just want to escape for a little bit, give that a go.
And don't you want to be able to say that in the celebration of movies? You know, I know we've really had, such this plethora of riches this year with some very serious dramas and some serious movies, and then some over the top achievements. But to be able to say Guardians of the Galaxy or this one or that one or Dungeons and Dragons, and we're eating popcorn and we're in the movies together, it's like, yes, thank you, people, for making movies. Thank you, theater owners, for owning theaters. You know, thanks for hanging in here. You know,
once again, there's room for both. We need these escapism films and these serious films, like my number two, Oppenheimer. And it could be someone's number one. It's probably going to do well on Sunday. We shall see. But what an accomplishment it is. We dedicated a whole episode of Welcome to the Party, Pal, to it. So we do, you know, if you want to hear us go deeper on it, it's right there. But they went all out. They built the town. They went all out in the casting. The direction's impeccable. It's important to, once again, something, an idea that's important to talk about. It's a triumph of a film. I just, it's just, it's absolutely stunning. I believe, if I'm not wrong, that might be one of or your favorite film of the year.
I think I'm going to have to make it my number one.
It's deserving.
Because it not only does it take the leading up of the fear of we can create this thing, should we create this thing? What if we don't create this thing and the bad guys that are worse than us create this thing? You know, it is that constant power play that's going on. We haven't achieved that moment of Starfleet universal peace, right? Going
first contact.
So United Federation of Planets, we're not there yet. So, and then one of my favorite parts was taking the mind of Oppenheimer and taking this thought and bringing that to the film in ways that maybe other people didn't appreciate, but as I always joke, trying to comprehend theoretical physics is a hobby of mine. You know, I work my brain that way. And to see those elements, you know, that were almost psychedelic, but seeing those elements on the screen of the way that he did that, you know, I loved it. I really loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, they made some bigger concepts kind of something that was comprehensible to the rest of us. And at the end of the day, it felt like an important warning. You know, like these things are out there. This is something that's not talking about. And the history of kind of how they came to be is important, how they were used, why they were chosen to be used. This is all important stuff.
And that's the last hour of the movie that a lot of people go, oh, they should have just, you know, ended it with the explosion. And it's like, oh, nay. The last hour of the movie is probably the most important hour of the movie as far as I'm concerned.
No doubt.
Talk about that in depth, you know, on the Oppenheimer episode, which is really good.
Yeah, I love that conversation. My favorite film of the year, when it comes to me, when I think about my favorites of the years throughout the years, is just how much heart matters to me. And, you know, it's the holdovers really got me. It really, really got me. I love that film.
I said holdovers because I thought you maybe were going to go another way for a film that we haven't mentioned.
I can't wait to hear what you say there. But it's I saw The Guardian describe it as a masterclass in melancholy, which I loved. But I also love a film that kind of where people find family where they least expect it, and that happened in a major, major way here. I am such a fan of Paul Giamatti. I am rooting for him so hard on Sunday. I just think he's given us so many gifts. And, you know, Alexander Payne really brings out kind of the best in him. Some of the lines that he's dropping, the rancid little Philistines, the hormonal Bulgarians, just the way he's talking about the kids. It's hilarious. And Divine Joy Randolph is a revelation. I'm rooting for her as well. It's funny, it's heartwarming, it's sad, it's fun, it has it all. I love the old school feel of it, kind of the classic 70s that has, it treats itself as a throwback. That movie really, really got me. It's the film of the year for me, but it's, like I said, the last six could have been, so.
So loved that's the film of the year for you. And I so appreciated that something that was so understated in this, I don't mean slow in a bad way, quiet, and I don't mean quiet in a bad way. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Exactly what you mean.
It's like, say we're running through life and we're all doing shots of espresso, back to back to back. And suddenly someone comes along and says, well, it's afternoon. How would you like a cup of tea? You know, let's just sit and look at the shadows and the way they fall and have a cup of tea. And that's what that film reminds me of, is the moment that we sit back and go, let's shut all this down and just have a conversation about our favorite books of all time over a cup of tea. You know, that in the middle of all our insanity and craziness that we have in society, a film like this can still be made and succeed and do well and touch people's lives. I love what it says about civilization at this point. I truly do, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That it can be held up with all these bigger, flashier things. That was so well said right there. What did you think might be number one on this side or include it in the conversation?
When you were describing it going into it, I thought you might turn around and pull Maestro back up.
Yeah, I do love that film, and I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about it a whole lot. I have Zone of Interest, The Killer, and Maestro as an honorable mention bunch. It's a wonderful film. Yeah, I could have gone that way. I was surprised when I was kind of piecing it all together that
Well,
I
there
didn't
it
have it.
shows there's a lot of really. Once again, it's been a great year for movies.
Absolutely. It's I know we've said it and celebrated, like it just feels like we're back, we're back, baby. We're back up. Tell me we're back up. This
it's
was
been it's been a great it's not like we just got Fast and Furious 45, and then another movie and another remake and another remake. We really had some original things,
Definitely.
and we had everything from Oppenheimer to Barbie to the holdovers to, I mean, this
American Fiction.
American Fiction, just this lovely. And then, of course, Guardians and Dial of Destiny. And, and we just had such a rich menu for 23. I'm very pleased. I'm feeling very satisfied. And I have 3 days ahead of me of just going on a movie drop, catching up.
Catching up on some of the Oscars and the whole thing. No, that's why this has been such a fun conversation, and it's just so fun. And I think we're both, at the end of the day, feeling a lot of gratitude. I mean, these are the things. It's tough out there in a lot of ways, and these are the things that make us think, make us laugh, make us smile, make us cry, make us feel. And that's what's so special. So, River, thanks for doing this with me. I look forward to these type of conversations with you and just this type of celebration. So much fun.
Always a pleasure.
Yep, and we'll be right back at it real soon. Thank you, everyone out there, for once again joining the party.
Crying. Crying never did nobody no good, no how. That's why I don't cry. That's why I don't cry. Laughing sometimes does somebody some good somehow. That's why I'm laughing now. That's why I'm laughing now.
Osiris.
This podcast is in the loop. The Legion of Osiris Podcasts. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with live experiences and podcasts about artists and topics you love. Get in the loop at osirispod.com.